Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. Then he departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day." But they did not understand this saying, and they were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. How many of you ever watched young kids playing sports where one or more of the children got confused and went the wrong way? Shot the ball in the wrong basket or hit the puck into the wrong goal? It happens. Kids get confused, right? And when kids do it, it's cute and funny, and hopefully you get it on tape and or you get it on your phone and can play it for them at their wedding and make sure to embarrass them. If, however, adults do it, it's not so funny anymore. In fact, if our favorite pro team scored for the wrong team, we would probably be quite irate. And what's even worse than pro sports players doing it is when Christians forget which way we're supposed to be going, where our goal is. In our text today, two goals are very clearly defined. On the one hand, we have Jesus talking about how he is going to Jerusalem to die and rise again for our sins. That's one goal. And then on the other side, we see the disciples going the wrong way. We see the disciples arguing about who's the greatest. They aren't winning, are they? Even if they convince everybody else that they are the greatest, they're the best one, all they've done is made points for the wrong team in the wrong goal. We don't win by promoting ourselves. We don't win by proving we're the greatest. We don't win by winning the argument. We win when we remember that Christ died for our sins, as our text reminds us. Let's look again at verse 31 of our text. He taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day." Everything is all about Jesus and his death and his resurrection. That's Jesus' goal. That should be our goal. That is where we gain our victory, in Jesus' death and resurrection. In all things, in all aspects of our life, we need to remember and hold fast this truth that Jesus died and rose again on the third day. In a little bit, we're going to be singing hymn 769, "Lift High the Cross." And in fact, you could grab your brown hymnals and open to that hymn if you want. We're going to take a look at it for a second. Because that hymn, even though it's in the evangelism section of our hymnal, and we often sing it on Mission Sunday, that hymn is actually a lot broader than just mission work, isn't it? That hymn is about lifting up the cross, holding it high every day in every aspect of our life. Verse 1 reminds us, "Come, Christians, follow where our Savior trod." Jesus talks about how he's headed to the cross and calls us to follow him. Our King victorious, Christ the Son of God. This verse reminds us to follow Christ to the cross. That's the direction we should be headed. That's our goal. To put aside vanity and self-seeking glory and accept suffering for the sake of others. Verse 2, "Led on their way by this triumphant sign, the hosts of God in conquering ranks combine. That verse reminds us that when we have hard things in our life, when we're burdened and wearied, when we're weighed down by cares and anxieties, or when we've got difficult tasks ahead of us, like the difficult task of not engaging in an argument, not seeking what we want, but serving one another, being the first to forgive instead of the first to demand that I'm right, right? That's a difficult thing to do. When we have difficult things ahead of us, we win, we receive strength by that sign of the cross, which leads us into the victory of Christ. And then verse 3, so shall our song of triumph ever be. Praise to the crucified for victory. And that, of course, reminds us that each and every day our true victory is found in that cross. Not just the victory of that life which is to come, not just the victory of heaven, but daily our victory comes from reminding ourselves who Christ is and what he's done for us. The whole song is a reminder of exactly what Jesus is telling the disciples in our text. That he's headed to Jerusalem to die for us. That this is our victory, not proving we're the greatest. The writer to Hebrews reminds us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We win when we remember the cross, and we look to Jesus for his victory. Our text continues, verse 32, but they did not understand this saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed amongst yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed amongst themselves who would be greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. How much of our life do we spend trying to convince others that we're the greatest? How much of our time do we spend trying to figure out how to win arguments or get our way? Thinking about different ways to serve ourselves. When somebody shares something with us that they're proud of, how often is our response to either belittle their achievement or else to tell some story about how we did something even greater, because it's so important to us that everyone knows that we're the best. There's so many different strategies that we develop in our life to get our way, to win arguments. We rarely stop to take the time to consider the one avenue in which we actually win, and that's not by engaging in the argument or proving we're the greatest, but by letting it go, by being the first to forgive, by following Jesus to the cross. We forget that we lose as soon as we engage in the argument. Even if we win and prove that we're right and we're the greatest, we've still lost, because all we've done is score for the opposite team. The one who wins is the first to let go, the first to forgive. Paul reminds us in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. The disciples utterly fail to understand what Jesus is talking about when he tells them that he has to die and rise again. And that's understandable, because the disciples have spent their whole lives, from the time that they were little, they were brought up and taught things about the Messiah that were different, right? They were taught a view of the Messiah and of God's kingdom that was very, very different from what Jesus was explaining and showing them here. And it can be difficult to turn your mind to see things in the right way, even when Jesus is pointing them to Scripture. What excuse do we have when we fail to understand Jesus? We've been brought up from when we were little with the correct understanding that Jesus went to die for our sins. And we, on the surface, understand what Jesus is talking about here, that he had to go to Jerusalem that he did die for our sins and rise again on the third day. But every time we engage like the disciples in arguments in that attempt to prove that I'm right and I'm the greatest, even though we may understand on the surface that Jesus died for our sins, we're showing that we've forgotten what that means for our life. Promoting ourselves means that we have forgotten what the cross means for us. On the front of your bulletin, we have that passage from Matthew 16:24. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We don't win by proving we're right. When we actually prove we're right, we've just lost. We win by remembering that Jesus died for our sins and learning to forgive as he has forgiven us. Jesus continues in verses 36 to 37. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." The word that Jesus uses here that it's translated as receive, in the Greek, it's a word that means, in this context at least, it means to show hospitality. And showing hospitality was and still is very much more important in the Middle East than it is in our own culture. It's important in our culture, but it's a whole thing in the Middle East. And we get some idea of what it meant to show hospitality in the account of Abraham, when he sees the three men walking towards him. And at first he doesn't even know who those three men are, and yet we remember how he went and he killed the calf and he prepared a meal and he had them sit down and he himself served them. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says to receive a little child. He doesn't just mean give the child some bread and water. He means to show the child hospitality, to welcome him into your home, to give him not just bread and water, but supper, to give him a full feast, and then to serve a child the way that you would serve somebody of great importance who comes into your life, which includes taking time out of your busy day to spend with that child. Jesus tells us to serve little children rather than the attitude of, well, telling the children, you go away, and the adults are doing something important now. Or rather than the attitude of, well, I've got important things to do, I don't have time to spend with children. Jesus says, take time to serve children. And of course, what he wants first and foremost is that we serve them by sharing that message of the cross. That we serve them by teaching them God's word and all that God teaches us and all that God has done for us in his word. So what Jesus is telling here has application in how we treat children, but it also has a wider application in that serving children is an example of Christian love, because children can't repay you for the service that you give to them. And so there's a wider application here that we ought not to take advantage of one another, but that we ought to serve one another expecting nothing in return. Now, Luke chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus reminds us, "Lend without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because in the same way, God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." Sometimes we do give in. Sometimes we do allow others, or maybe especially our spouse, to have their way or let them win the argument. And sometimes we do it because we expect that, well, next time it will be my turn. We expect that, well, next time they'll repay me for the kindness I gave to them. And if we don't get something back from our kindness, we're tempted to give up. Well, I'm not going to do that anymore. It didn't pay. I didn't get the reward of them returning the favor. But Jesus reminds us in our text here that that also is not the correct attitude. That's not what Jesus did for us, is it? He didn't come down and die for us because he knew that someday we would repay him. Just as little children can't repay us for the service that we do to them, at least not at first. Maybe when they grow up, they'll become rich and help us out in our old age, right? But at least not at first. They can't repay us for our service. Just as children can't repay us for the service that we do to them, so also we can never repay Jesus for all that he's done for us. And Jesus isn't expecting us to. He doesn't require it of us. He gladly came down and died for us. He gladly came to serve us, not expecting anything in return. This is the cross that he went to bear, and this is the attitude he wants us to have for one another. Not to take advantage of children or take advantage of one another, but gladly to serve rather than to be served. And thus, in every aspect of our life, to remember the cross. Lift high the cross. In every aspect of our life, our victory comes from Christ, who died for us and forgave our sins. This is how we win. This is how we win arguments, but more importantly, this is how we win in our fight over sin and death, the victory that Christ has given to us in his cross. Amen. Let's rise and sing that hymn, hymn 769, Lift High the Cross.